here to all of our listeners. This is the Sound of Football and of 2013. I'm Graham Sibley, and this week I'm joined, as always, by Terry Fellin and nearly always by Jan Bilton. Hello, chaps. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Right. I'm not going to dwell too long today, because what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the FA Cup. Yes, it's been everywhere this weekend. Third round, as it always is in the first weekend of January. In the competition, with starts off back in August with 750-odd teams, whittled down to a mere 64 by the time you get to this stage. So pretty much it's nearly all over by the time you get to the third round. Where have you been? Chaps, what do you like about the FA Cup?
Well, as a non-league fan these days, I actually quite like the early stages more than I do the latter stages, to be honest. Particularly since investing in Whiteleaf as I have done. I really enjoy the very brief appearance that they have in the FA Cup last season. I think it was. We actually did a bit of a mini tour of the local area and saw a few FA Cup games.
We did, yeah.
From different clubs at various different rounds. And I really enjoy that aspect of it, because I mean you can tell what it means for the lower league clubs, the non-league clubs. It's a very special competition for them. I think that they appreciate it more. So obviously there's a great deal of money at stake for them if they win and get through to the next round. So that matters a great deal for them. And the intensity of the competition, although the competition isn't as high as it is when they get to say the third round or even the first round proper. Still a highly intense competition. The players really badly want it, and I really enjoy watching that. I think that's what I enjoy the most about the FA Cup now.
I agree with what you're saying about the lower league stuff. I particularly enjoy it when they get into, if they make it to the third round.
Yeah.
And then it's really great, and especially if they take a scalp or two, it's even better. I'm a big fan of the FA Cup, I hate to drop the romance of the FA Cup bomb, but I'm about to. But I have some great memories of going to matches and seeing some great finals and some great qualifying matches, the round matches leading up to it. It's a shame it doesn't attract the same kind of interest that it used to. I know that the attendance figures were down this weekend on the third round last year. So it's a real shame. It's a shame it's tailing off.
Well, yeah. So, but I mean, I love the FA Cup. I mean, and you both are of the same opinion. So why isn't it so popular? Why is it? Why do we think people aren't going to watch it?
Why do people love it so much and yet still not turn up and watch it?
Yeah, exactly. Is this like one of those things like salad cream and Meccano? Are they going to come around and say, oh, the FA Cup, you know, oh yeah, we're going to have to shut it down, you know, because no one's interested in it. And then all of a sudden, there's like...
they've banned salad cream.
No. Every about 10 years or so, Heinz turns up and says, "Oh well, no one loves salad cream anymore. We're gonna do away with it." And then there's a big outcry in the press,
like whisper bath.
Yeah, whispers, exactly. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. Maybe that's what the FA Cup needs. It needs the FA Cup to say, "Ah, oh, well, no one's interested anymore. We'll shut it down."
Yeah.
Maybe it should call it the FA Cup sponsored by Whisper.
Maybe it should
be like retro
yeah.
the cup.
Or salad cream, yeah.
Or the salad cream cup. Yeah, that is more of a league cup.
Thing, yeah.
It's also pretty disgusting the more I think about it.
A cup of salad cream.
That is really, definitely a league cup.
I am going to take a swig of something else.
Not salad cream. No, it certainly isn't salad cream. I've got some salad cream. You
I can assure you there's no taste in that now. I brush my teeth before I go.
But obviously something is going wrong with it, because you know you've got teams like Cardiff resting players this weekend.
Yeah.
This is all right. Now Cardiff they're going for a
top of the
automatic promotion. But you know, who are they to start rotating players in a bid to improve their chances of promotion.
But when league football is the king now, isn't it? It reigns over everything. I think there was it back in the old days, the FA Cup was so, because it was really the only live game on television, and it was so prestigious that a lot of the money that, you know, you could make yourself quite a lot of money out of the FA Cup if you're a professional footballer. And I think in many ways that the league wasn't seen as being as important. In many ways, the FA Cup was a really big prize to win, you know, at the end of the season. And you'd have the sponsorship pool, you know, once you got to the final, and media appearances, you know, and a possibility of genuine fame. And good footballers now get that to a certain extent. Anyway, the top footballers do anyway. Mm. They get that genuine fame, and they certainly get the riches that come from playing in the Premier League and, to an extent, now the Championship, which, you know, is a very rich league and pays an awful lot of money. I'd probably arguably is competitive with some of the other senior clubs, in Europe in terms of wages. So maybe it just comes down to just professionalism, you know, and the FA Cup isn't that much of a big deal for the clubs and the players. The reward isn't as great anymore, and that's why they're not that into it. And consequently, the supporters, you know, get that vibe.
Mm.
And they don't feel as though they're kind of like into it. It is in a kind of funny halfway house, because the Carling Cup is used for, like, you know, your younger players. If you're like a big club, you know, you use a Carling Cup as a kind of, well, I use this for my peripheral players and my younger players. And it seems to have developed largely thanks to its broadcaster, which is Sky, who are looking to package a nice story around it in order to make it attractive to people. And it's turned it into a really, you know, a sort of like a development competition, really, more than anything else.
Mm.
And it works quite nicely there. But the FA Cup doesn't do that, because you do get some teams where they're playing reduced squads, when you'll get others where they're not. And you'll get a lot of people saying it's really important, and yet sometimes, you know, they don't necessarily get that impression. Again, going back to the intensity of the competition, you just don't get that. And the reality is that, you know, if Cardiff go to Wembley at the end of the season this year, obviously they'd rather not go at all, but, you know, the playoff final would be a bigger deal for them than the FA Cup final. Certainly, yeah. You know, Palace are a third. And from my point of view, you know, if you were going to go to Wembley at the end of the season, which would it be, the FA Cup or the playoff final? That will be a tough question to answer.
Certainly, yeah.
And for the players, I don't think there would be. It wouldn't be, though. I think for the supporters, it'd be a tough question to answer. But for the players, I don't think it would be. I'd say the playoff final.
Mm.
So,
I wonder what. I mean, maybe you can answer this with your knowledge of the Bundesliga. But what's the domestic cup competitions? You know, what's their standing in countries like Germany?
Well, in Germany, in fact, it's actually going through something of a renaissance. Ironically, around Europe, generally speaking, cup competitions aren't really taken very seriously until you get to the quarterfinals. But in Germany, it's actually taken quite seriously right from the off.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, is largely down to a number of reasons. One, they actually stopped switching the final from various venues around the country, and they moved it permanently to the Olympic Stadium in Berlin,
mm-hmm.
which I think was a really good idea. So it gave you a kind of road to Berlin kind of target, which is something that you could sort of, you know, galvanise and inspire, yeah. You know, players and fans. Also, they seed the draw, so the smaller teams have a crack at the bigger teams at home. So they will rig the draw.
A bit like the League Cup, really.
Yeah, a bit like the League Cup, yeah, in order to make things spicy. So you'll get the odd upset. It's a much smaller competition, the FA Cup, and there's no, like, you know, they don't have a kind of like grassroots, like non-league kind of participation. It's tier four upwards, basically.
Yeah, that is a problem, though, with cup competitions throughout Europe, is the fact that there isn't the depth. Although, you know, if you go to Italy and Spain, you know, you get this huge amount of non-league that happens around tier four or five. But the cup competitions don't go down that far, and there is such a gap in quality.
It would be embarrassing to have like proper, genuine non-league clubs in a lot of European countries participating with professional clubs in a domestic competition. It wouldn't be like it is here. you know, because I think there is a gap, a genuine gap between non-league and the professional.
Because of the barriers,
the stratification is much, much more dense in England, and we can get away with it.
Mm. Yeah.
But I think if you go to Germany and watch a fourth division game, it will be like watching a game in the conference. The standard, maybe not, but certainly the infrastructure. In many cases,
we have seen a fourth division.
Yeah, we saw a fourth division, and it was between two reserve teams.
Yes.
So Bochum and
And it looked like a reserve match.
And it looked like a reserve match, so I don't think it would really work. Mm. The other thing about just a final in the German Cup is the way the first round is played. The first round is when everyone plays, and it's just before the start of the domestic season. So it's 1 week before, so it catches the bigger clubs on the hop, because their preparation will be for the 1 week afterwards, and if then they've got to go to someone like Chemnitz or someone like that and play a game, you know, in front of, you know, 7,000 very, very vociferous, you know, sort of like third division fans, they get caught out, and you know, big teams do lose, and you know, that guys have lost their job as a consequence. So I think you mix all that together, and there seems to be some genuine enthusiasm for it.
In other European leagues as well, though, you find that because a lot of leagues in Europe take a winter break, you don't get this sort of intensity of the FA Cup for the top sides anyway, immediately after New Year.
Yeah.
Where, you know, in January there's going to be at least two FA Cup games if you get through the third round. And they're going to be, they may be on pitches that are partially frozen or damp, and you know, not to like the what you'd expect at the top flight. So this whole sort of like different levels where giant killings come into place in Europe, you're probably not going to get that as much because A, the top teams are so much better than teams that are three levels below them, and also as well in a lot of the competitions they play them over two legs. I think Actually, the Spanish Cup is played over two legs.
In Spain, Italy, I'd agree with that. In France, of course, it doesn't. I don't know the French setup very well, but you get lots of upsets in France.
Yeah, right.
And you'll often find fourth division clubs going all the way to the final. Mm. Very, really? Very strange, yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure that happened last year. I'm sure that happened last year.
Yeah.
And it's happened in the past, so recently. So the French have got... They've obviously decided that that's the way to go. The other thing with, of course, the FA Cup and in, you know, in places like Germany, the German Cup is at the moment, their league isn't as rich as, say, the Premier League. The Bundesliga is getting a new deal from Sky, and it's massive. It's not as big as the Premier League, but by comparison to what they've been paying before, it's massive. I doubt there's a comparable TV deal for the German Cup, and it might well be that in the next 2 or 3 years... that teams will perhaps be thinking more about protecting their Bundesliga status in order to keep the money and thinking less about concentrating on the German Cup. Mm. But in fairness, there's much fewer rounds in the German Cup as there is in the FA Cup. And maybe, you know, the FA Cup, if it wants to improve, it might think about the latter rounds of the competition and wonder whether or not less might be more in this instance. That might be a way of making it a little bit more attractive would be to reduce the number of fixtures, because I think I suspect that a lot of managers, maybe not the bosses, but I suspect the managers would probably welcome a reduction in fixtures. Mm. I mean, the money men would rather see the turnstiles rolling, but the coaches might, and if you get the coaches on board with that, then they might be more inclined to take the competition more seriously, and that would in turn help. But of course it does mean a loss of revenue. But again, you have to weigh these things up.
Mm. But it's a loss of revenue to the clubs that probably need it most, and also as well, it's the one thing they've got left now after the Premier League sort of. Like,
I wouldn't know what to. Yeah, well, you know, that's the thing. It's difficult to know, really, isn't it? I mean, the whole, when you know, if you've got the Premier, if you're a mid-table Premier League side, are you looking to win the FA Cup? But you don't necessarily get that vibe from them. I mean, that's the one thing that they could actually do that they could win. But there almost seems to be a certain inevitability that it's going to be one of the big clubs that ends up winning it anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, that tends to take a bit of the entertainment value away from it, because, you know, you get the big clubs who don't appear on the surface to be terribly interested in it. I mean, I think they like it and they believe in it. you know, in the same way that people believe in Radio 3, but they don't listen to it. Do you know what I mean? It's sort of like one of those things that, they it's an institution.
Do you think that's... I was just...
And then they can't be bothered, but then they end up winning the thing anyway. Sorry.
Yeah. You know. No. All I was going to say is I was thinking that's maybe part of the FA Cup's problem, that it is a bit like Radio 3, and that it maybe it's kind of... It's, you know, kind of old and fuzzy kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, but you don't want it to be feeling. You don't want it to be like Radio 5 Live, do you?
You don't. No. I'm not saying it should be. I'm just wondering if that's part of the problem.
Awful.
Because
want to have Nicky Campbell on it. No much is certain.
It almost makes me think of when Rover brought out the Rover 75. They were trying to hark back to some kind of lovely past that they had.
Man.
When in reality, what everyone wanted was a bit more of a German sports.
So the FA Cup's a bit too sort of like walnut veneer.
The walnut veneer is a good analogy.
Oh, they still use the velvet bag, don't they? So it's
like a wooden,
The Rover 75. It was responding to people who are going, they don't make cars like that anymore. I said, well, they do now. I said, well, actually, when I said they don't make cars like that anymore, I meant that's a good thing.
Yeah. And for the record, it was a dreadful car.
I think the main problem is something you harkened back earlier, Terry, is the fact that it used to be there only used to be one live game a year, and it was the FA Cup.
Yeah,
and that's why it was important for us. Well, when we were growing up, anyway. Not even like the League Cup was on live, was it? That was played on a Saturday at 3 o'clock when there was the full league program as well.
Yeah, so back in the very, very, very early days, yeah.
Yeah, you'd get the occasional, the very, very occasional England international, and obviously you'd have World Cups on as well.
Yeah, right? And the odd European game as well, maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
If Liverpool were doing well in it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it's gone from a position where it's so high up in the status of football culture. So it has, for a long while, it was the number one trophy to win. And that is not an exaggeration. It was the number one trophy to win. But inevitably, it's lost ground, and it seems to have fallen quite some way. And the thing is, it will never get that back. And it shouldn't do either, because I believe personally that a healthy and a league is a good thing for English football, and it's good to have a good, strong league. I know it's fashionable and fun to not like the Premier League, and I don't like it, but... You know, I do recognise that a strong, healthy league is a good thing, and it shouldn't be left to a knockout competition. And the FA Cup will never be able to recreate that. I mean, no matter what you do, I mean, even if you were to, give it the fourth Champions League slot, which I think would probably be a bad idea, then that would, I don't think that would help matters that much, because wouldn't happen. I mean, the Premier League wouldn't wear it. I don't think UEFA would wear it.
I don't think it would be a sensible idea either. But I also think the fact that now the another thing what you've said as well earlier is just the fact that the final curtain on the season is now the Championship playoff.
I think that's a tragedy, really. I think it's awful that the Premier League that the FA Cup finishes before the Premier League finishes, regular season finishes. I do feel that there are some things that
to.
Do make good tradition.
I don't know, but certainly before the war, mid-April.
Before the war. This is the Second World War, yeah? Not Gulf War.
No.
Not the Falklands War.
No,
right, okay, no. This is the Second
But it's
War.
Not. It's not like been setting so
right,
that,
so it's
that
not
the FA Cup was the...
Okay.
Was the
all right, fair enough. Well, I'm probably looking back as far as my own memory.
Yeah, certainly as far as my memory goes.
Nevertheless, it has enjoyed for a time the showpiece event at the very end of the season.
Ends with the FA Cup final, starts with the Charity Shield.
Yeah.
I mean, it's different, obviously. The last couple of it's been a bit difficult because the Premier League moves on. There has also been the small matter of the two Wembley European Cup finals, because we've got another European Cup final at Wembley as well. So that's going to cause issues in terms of timetabling, the Olympics last season and the European Cup final the season before that, all being very, very, very heavy Wembley, making Wembley really, really busy. So it does seem...
Which it needs to be to actually pay for itself.
But in many respects, you're right, Graham, the showpiece event of the domestic season is actually the Championship playoff final.
Yeah.
Which is kind of strange because it's, you know, it's the culmination of England's second tier,
yeah,
and not actually. Well, those are the good things about having a postseason, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think that that's probably capturing a lot of I don't know whether it's just me, but I seem to remember that the playoff final games are always massively exciting because there's so much at stake.
Yeah.
That's what the FA Cup ties used to be like, because there was so much.
Because all or nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But also as well is that with playoff finals is that they're usually quite competitive as well. And it's not usually like you don't see unless it's two of the really big clubs, unless it's like Man United versus Man City or Chelsea playing each other, then you've got a fair idea who's going to come out on top by the time the cup final comes.
When City beat Stoke the other year, that was a bit one-sided, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, hats off to Stoke for making it there, but you always felt that this wasn't a game they were really ever likely to win.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the championship playoff final adds extra because it means a lot more to the professionals as well, because for them, they've got a chance of winning a tasty Premier League contract and significantly improving their life prospects just by winning this game. And so they will go full tilt and at it. I don't know whether you genuinely get that in the FA Cup, because there isn't that effect it will have on the players. There's not that kind of treadmill of bucks kind of thing.
It's even as little a thing as the fact that they actually present a cup at the playoff.
Yeah, I mean, I do find that a little strange.
Rather odd. Finished third, you finished sixth.
Yeah.
Why not you winning a cup
getting
for?
Getting
loads of money. Man.
They have started now dishing out trophies for second place now. Whereas for quite some time, the championship was you'd win the league trophy, that is now for the second tier rather than for the champions of England, and then you'd have whoever won the third place playoff winning a trophy and lifting it at Wembley, and then meanwhile the better team gets squat. But I'm sure that's changed. I've seen now they've now got a trophy for the second place team, so that's all kinds of bonkers, really.
Right. Yeah.
I don't understand that at all. But I mean, I watched Palace win the playoff final at the Millennium Stadium a few years ago, and you were there as well. Yeah, that's right. And they got I saw them lift the trophy, and I didn't give a shit.
Did they all go out the window?
They should give them a bloody trophy. I didn't care. I thought it was great.
Have you been to a playoff final?
Now? I went to the.
You went to the playoff final.
You went to that playoff final.
I went to that.
Tell us about that playoff final. Even though we're meant to be talking about the FA Cup.
Yeah.
See how long the playoff final is taking over now. But you can't get in the way of a good story, can you?
I was at we lost to Charlton.
Mm.
Sunderland lost to Charlton in what was an amazing match.
The Mendonca final.
He's actually from Sunderland as well.
Yeah. Mm, yeah. Well, we all heard about it at the time.
Yeah.
The commentators were saying it roughly every 5 minutes.
I'm feeling a bit subdued now.
I'll put some salt on that.
Let's go back to the FA Cup. Great FA Cup final.
Can we talk about Newcastle getting knocked out, and then I'll feel a lot better.
Let's talk about great finals. 92. That was a good one.
No, I think you missed my point.
Yeah. So you would have been what, 18 then, was it, for that final?
For which one? The Mendonca final?
For the Liverpool final, the FA Cup final. How old were you?
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
Yeah. Where did you watch that then?
I watched it at home.
Yeah.
And
bloody awful.
Dreadful game. Oh, the best part of that game. Well, did you were at home, were you?
I was. I actually went to the semi final at Hillsborough when Sunderland beat Norwich. And because I think that was because the final was the first.
Well, there's a pub quiz question there, isn't it?
Yeah, the first John Byrne.
John Byrne scored a goal in every round,
apart from the final. Yeah.
Was that the year Norwich finished third in the league?
Ooh, maybe.
It was about that sort of time, wasn't it?
Yeah, maybe the year before, but it was it was John Byrne almost matched Peter Osgood's record of scoring a goal in every round from the third round onwards, obviously.
Mm.
And it was also well known for that legendary bit of punditry in the second half between Alan Hansen and Jimmy Hill, because there was nothing to talk about apart from this one single penalty incident in where Steve McManaman is pretty clearly brought down by a Sunderland defender. And Alan Hansen is livid because he'd only just finished playing, so he was still full of rage about the injustice of the whole thing, whereas these days he's like, oh yeah, no, terrible decision, you know, I'm off to the golf course. But Jimmy Hill was trying to spice things up a bit, look, as the great broadcasting pro that he is. And he was trying to justify the foul not being given by saying, well, if you look at the angle of intent of the player, you'll see. And Hansen was just doing his wig. It's great. Old Jimmy. I was really slagging him off at the time, but I think back on that now and I think, you know, you need that. You need your broadcasters to come out and say stuff like that, particularly in what's been boring games. I mean, that's why John Champion, although I think it's unfair, he's getting all this stick for calling Luis Suarez a cheat, but this was a crap game of football. And there was one remotely interesting point in it, which is when Luis Suarez handled the ball, and being a great broadcaster, John Champion called him a cheat on air. Yeah. I said, well, there's nothing wrong with it. No harm has been done.
Yeah.
Apart from to, you know, the odd Liverpool fans' precious egos. And, well, you
know. Yes.
And we'll all live with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
And he isn't cheap.
Well,
he is. But then again, so is someone who deliberately fouls someone. We don't tend to, like go, like, apoplectic when someone runs through... on a counter attack, and there's a defender on the halfway line who just body checks him.
There's cheating and cheating, isn't there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, we do seem to have a culture whereby physicality is not rewarded, but is forgiven. Excessive physicality is forgiven more than, say, chicanery, like handling the ball.
Yes.
And also diving. But I think deliberate handball is, and this has got to be an 86 thing. Deliberate handball in England is one of the worst things that you can do.
It is quite rude. Even Scotland, especially if you're South American.
Particularly
for pushing
South
in America. A queue.
Oh,
it's definitely up there.
Is up there with
pushing in a queue, but I think it is more.
It's just greeted with lots of tooting.
What it is, it's like parking in a disabled spot.
Leaving your shopping trolley in your car parking space without putting it out.
When the trolley bank is just like three spaces
just over there.
Yeah. See, these are the things we get riled about every day. And this is why.
This is why we're such a seriously messed up country.
This is why
the guy who made the Preparation H is a billionaire. Yes, well, we have to tie up this conversation soon, aren't we? Because the clock on the wall is rapidly running out of seconds. So, what do we think? I mean, all our clubs are. We're still in the in the bag, aren't we?
Yeah.
We definitely changed.
Actually, I don't know. We nearly got knocked out by Bolton, but we scraped through.
So you're actually through.
We're all subject to replays.
Yeah, we've got City at home if we go to Stoke on a wet Wednesday and lose and win. Sorry, So, what was your question?
We're all going to be sitting there watching the FA Cup for the next round of replays at least, aren't we?
Yes.
And of course we'll be there watching the final come May.
Probably.
Something better may come up.
I always make sure I watch the final. Yeah, definitely.
Of course, we'd love to hear what your opinions on the FA Cup, FA Cup memories and such, and if you want us to go on to talk more about the FA Cup, and I think this is a subject we're going to come back to, I think.
Back later on in the conversation. Yeah. We could maybe come up with some suggestions as to what we would do differently.
Yeah.
Could we monkey with the format?
And send
it out to Asia. That kind of thing.
Yeah, there is things like that. Mm. Also as well, let us know if you like salad cream.
We'd be really interested in your thoughts on salad cream. This podcast was brought to you by the good people of Hines.
Yes. Try not to drink a...
That's lovely.
Yeah. Try not to drink a whole cup full of it, though.
And definitely not... But don't allow any to dribble down the side of it. Because, you know...
And on that lovely, tasteful note...
Thanks for that.
I'm going to... bid you farewell, and tune in next week when we'll have more of the same sort of stuff. So from me, Graham Sibley, Terry DeFemme, and Jan Bill, it's goodbye.
Cheers. Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.